Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the last day of July 2025. The bank holiday weekend beckons and the country is calm and quiet today. It's what we need, isn't it? And the group chats are open for business. The WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32. The text is 51551. And of course, you can send us your longer thoughts on email. That's oliver@rte.ie. And of course, in the last hour, like yourselves, we learned that terrible news about Sean Rocks and his death. I can tell you has stunned us here. It has stunned the arts world as well. He was a friend, a devoted friend and supporter to scores of people in every field of entertainment. Indeed, he had acted plenty himself. But writers, singers, actors, the critics and reviewers that came into Arena are distraught this morning at this unexpected sad news. And he was totally steeped in culture. As I say, he acted himself. His screen credits were on things like The Bill, Glenroe, Fair City, The Family. On stage, he started Fado Fado with a Pat McCabe adaptation of The Butcher Boy while he took a little break from teaching. And he found his life there and off his career went. And he ended up on the boards everywhere, including London's Royal Court Theatre. And then in the year 2000, 25 years ago, a whole new life for Sean Rocks. He began presenting programmes on Lyric. But he's best known to everyone as the presenter of Arena, where for the last 14 years he's been presenting. And that's where he was only last Friday, in fact, signing off at the end with a promise to be back to chat to us all on Monday. But it sadly wasn't to be. And for us in the Radio Centre, he's a terrible loss. He was a really jolly man, a lovely fella to meet in the car park or in the corridors, wherever he was. He was very tall. He had that wonderful actor's hair. You know, he's a striking man and obviously an incredible voice, full of warm Ulster evenings and nights. So we're thinking of Sean's beloved Catherine and his two children, Christian and Morgan, this morning. We found some words that Sean wrote himself about himself and his interest in the arts. It was penned back in 2014. And he says, "I'm a pragmatic thinker, but I also take flights of fancy. I grew up in Monaghan town with two sisters and a brother. My father was an accountant and had a grocery shop. My family's still there, but home for me is Dublin now, although I wish I felt more rooted there. The arts are important because ultimately they give a richness to our culture, which feeds into everything else and helps to improve our society." And Sean says, "Life has taught me to tell the truth and to say what you think." As he talks about his career, he says, "I worked as a teacher for 7 years. I like teaching younger kids, but it remains the most difficult job I've ever done. When you're on, you're on. It's like acting and live radio. The skill sets are similar too. The most important trait in all those jobs is to be able to listen. I'm not good at separating work from the rest of my life." And he concludes, "The story of my life does not fit into neat chapters. It's more like a post-modernist sprawling mess." And I think it's fair to say we all enjoy that mess very much. Aryesh J. Garev Anam, 51551 is the text this morning. And one of area in our world today that the arts has been more sensible, perhaps, than most of the political world is that issue of Gaza. And I want to come to that as we look at what's happening in the rest of the world. And you can sense the change globally now, can't you, on how countries are viewing this issue at the minute. Canada is in the news, the latest big country to say it plans to recognise a Palestinian state. And this comes also in that kind of changed mood inside Israel itself, where we've seen a very a different attitude. Two Israeli human rights groups have said that what Netanyahu and his far-right government is doing to the people in Gaza meets the criteria of genocide. And that's a massive change from inside there. Although I did hear this morning a Sky News journalist talking to Morning Ireland, talking to Gavin Jennings, saying that she couldn't find, and she went out yesterday, an Israeli source who would be critical of the war and the humanitarian crisis on their doorstep, saying they just simply do not believe that their government could possibly do something like blockade, starve children, and then watch as its military shoots at starving people. The denial is massive. But the diplomatic world believes it, and they are changing their views very much so since a big change since the Hamas attacks in October 2023, which killed 1,200 Israelis and led to this long, uninterrupted retaliation that Hamas has said has killed 60,000 people and continues. Canada now follows what Britain says it might recognise a Palestinian state if certain conditions are met. And that's obviously historically significant because, of course, it was Britain that first mooted the idea of even creating the State of Israel back in 1917 and then effectively handed the partition problem to the UN in 1947. And it has continued ever since. But Britain is a permanent member of the Security Council. And since France declared it's planning to recognise a state a few days ago, that would leave just the US as one of the big five in the UN Security Council membership who do not recognise Palestine and have no plans to. But most of the countries in the United Nations, 147 out of 193, not counting France and Canada because they haven't formally done it yet, they recognise a Palestinian state, those countries. The Americans will retain the veto. But it is interesting to ask today what recognising a Palestinian state actually means, something that Ireland did along with Spain and Sweden early last year. And the criteria for statehood is laid out in an international treaty from 1933, and they include four elements. You need a permanent population, defined territorial boundaries, a government and an ability to conduct international affairs. And recognition would be kind of officially stating and acknowledging that a would-be state broadly meets all of these conditions, even if an element is in dispute, including territorial boundaries, which is in Palestine's case, because it has a permanent population. The land exists, but the borders are disputed, but broadly understood to be in the West Bank and in Gaza and East Jerusalem, which Israel effectively annexed. The West Bank, so-called, because it's on the western bank of the River Jordan. And the Palestinian government, the Palestinian Authority, is that government body that administers part of the West Bank. So that would be the recognition would mean establishment of direct diplomatic contact between the Palestinian Authority and the recognising nation like Ireland, Canada, Britain, if it happens there. And it would also acknowledge the Palestinian right to self-determination. It would just put pressure to fix an issue that has continued for so long. But already this morning we're seeing Donald Trump in the White House saying that Canada's announcement that it plans to recognise a Palestinian state will have negative consequences for a possible trade deal that's still under consideration there. But it is a reminder that he is the man who can stop the suffering in Gaza by forcing Netanyahu's hand in a phone call. And after all, the EU-US trade deal razzmatazz that we witnessed the other day was extraordinary. Nobody really mentioned how Ursula von der Leyen, on behalf of the Holy EU, as she was there face to face with Donald Trump, did not bring up Gaza. And she has been very silent on this issue. And like the member states, including Ireland, are not calling her up to ask why or putting pressure on her. But also, I suppose, like many countries, Ireland is not calling on the Americans either in a sort of unspoken acknowledgement that the fear over what might happen for trade and economies has a higher value than lobbying the White House to end the suffering in Gaza. That is the reality we're in at the moment. 51551 is the text. No wonder when the news is bad, we cling and search for kind of the tiny joys wherever we can get them and things to look forward to. And there are things happening in the world and in our immediate around Ireland to lift the spirits over the long weekend, particularly in sport. On Saturday, it is going to be the third and final test for the Irish and British Lions against the Wallabies in Sydney. The Wallabies are already defeated. I was reading interesting stories, in fact, on BBC the other day about the Wallabies not performing at the moment. It's going because they're under so much pressure from Aussie rules that it's taking away from rugby. They should come to Ireland and have a look at the sports vying for men and women to participate. And yet rugby still manages, despite being a minority sport in terms of participation in Ireland, it manages to get enough in a small population to do well on the world stage. The series already won, but we've nine Irish players named in the squad. There's going to be massive interest. I know the Irish Times is trying very hard to convince us of the excitement, despite the fact the whole thing is over and done with. And of course, there's loads of Gaelic games action. The All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship. Most people call it women's football now, but just Gaelic. Gaelic is generally what we call it. There's a troika of finals, if we can re-borrow that phrase once again. The Senior Championship, that's Dublin and Meath on Sunday. And then the junior final is between Antrim and Louth at 9:45 and the intermediate in between Laois and Tyrone. So a lot of counties involved. A big day in Croke Park. The games are live at TG Cahir. It will be streamed also on the GKR player worldwide. And of course, there are lots of things happening. Waterford is the centre of all activity this weekend. The All Together Now Festival, which is regarded as the last proper rock festival in Ireland. And Spree Festival, which is also taking place in Waterford, all happening at the same weekend. The concert, All Together Now Festival, Fontaines DC, C-Matt, Nelly Furtado, the Boomtown Rats. That's going to be a lovely weekend. It's going to be a dry weekend, by the way, Saturday and Sunday. But don't make lots of outdoor plans for Monday, is the message from Met Aaron. It's going to be unseasonably windy and a horror, believe it or not. We'll actually be broadcasting Bio from Waterford tomorrow morning, so tune in for that. We'll have live music, of course, coming in from the All Together Now Festival. We'll have chat with people involved in Spree. And what's more, we're going to be doing it live from inside a cafe. That's Carter's Chocolate. Just up from the clock tower on the quays in Waterford City. So come along and have the crack, and we'll try to cheer everybody's spirits as much as we can. If you're heading off to the cinema in the ropey weather that the Northwest is going to have, the Naked Gun film has this extraordinary marketing. A reboot starring Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson seemed like a terrible idea when they announced it 2 or 3 years ago. Now it looks like an absolute place of joy we will cling to get away from the bad news. Like, I've gone to see so many daft films myself just to get away from the stuff, which is important to read and not ignore at the same time. But the publicity surrounding the film, it revolves around this romance or showmance of the stars Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson. Totally invented, but look, we like to believe for a moment. It is only 85 minutes long. It's a tribute to the original film. They deadpan, and it is getting amazing reviews, as is the Superman film, which has surprised everyone, and also the Marvel movie Fantastic Four, which I've seen myself, because it looks pretty. It's that kind of 1950s vision of the future. That's the entire aesthetic. Beautiful looking film in terms of the set. And Pedro Pascal is in it. What's not to love? Plus the guy from The Bear, plays the kind of rock monster character. And if you're staying in Ireland and Dublin, The Little Shop of Horrors is a joyful musical in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, featuring for the first time an all-Irish cast and crew, and they've done a rollicking good job, and it is selling well. Get into enjoy that sort of stuff. Also, the daft things happening in the world include a possible romance between the former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and guess who? Katy Perry, the woman the internet hates for reasons that are not entirely clear, other than people are angry and they want someone to be angry at. So they were photographed dining together in Montreal, and that said, that's strange. Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry having dinner together, 2 hours long dinner. No public displays of affection were spotted. And then this morning, photos are online on all the news sites because Justin Trudeau has showed up at Katy Perry's disastrous Lifetime's tour stop in Montreal that nobody likes except the diehard fans. And the paper of record on such matters, the Daily Mail, we're jesting here, says Justin was watching Katie's show with a 16-year-old daughter. That is a sign of, it's a sign of love if a man goes to a Katy Perry concert anyway. But even if the woman he's going out with, possibly courting, is Katy Perry, to go sit through that entire concert, fair play to the man. You'll know Katy Perry is single after Orlando Bloom and herself ended their engagement, which went on. And Trudeau has been single since he separated from his ex-wife. So that's a little bit of fluff to keep you going. And the ultimate fluff this morning is this fact you need to know, is Australians celebrate Christmas twice a year, including right now. They celebrate July Christmas. It's a trend that began with Irish people in 1980. Actually, I'll give you the backstory, first of all. Apparently, the Mountain Heritage Hotel in 1980 had a cold July evening because of the depths of winter, this time of the year over there, down below. And that's what it should be known as, down below, down yonder. It was snowing outside. Half a dozen Irishmen walked into the Katoomba Lodge and said they were nostalgic for a traditional Christmas, winter Christmas. And Gary Crockett, who's now 76, said, well, we'll throw Christmas for you. A Christmas tree was taken down, tinsel and baubles, the hotel decked out with decorations, and they kept doing it year after year. And Christmas in July became an annual gathering at the Mountain Heritage Hotel. Gary's father is from Belfast. He wore the Santa costume. It was the highlight of the year. And the trend has spread across Australia and across the Tasman to New Zealand. And even the Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles has picked up this custom. Homesick Australians have traditional summer Christmas, prawn cocktails. They have some kind of Australian cake. Turkey, the whole lot goes on. Even in Sydney, they now have somebody imported a load of 40 timber huts from Strasbourg winter chalets and recreate the Christmas markets in the middle of July in Sydney. And there are songs, mulled wine and the whole lot. KFC has jumped on the Christmas in July trend. And this is a real thing that happens in Australia. Good grief. They have little to do to find to entertain themselves. But a Merry Christmas to any Australians out there. 087-032-3232 is the WhatsApp. Somebody reminded me of this song from 1996 and I thought it was worth going back there this morning. Wow, what a voice. Do you remember that? That was Sinead Lohan doing an old Bob Dylan song, To Ramona. And Sinead Lohan was this beautiful dreadlocked singer from Cork. And she was sensational and massive at the time. And she gave all the music career up. And I hope she went off and had a nice life for herself. To Ramona, 1996. And there's lots of lovely messages coming in for Sean Rocks, which we'll come to later again. We'll return to that. But talking about the little joys to look forward to, I want to mention the Flacyol, of course, starting in Wexford on Sunday. It's the largest celebration of Irish music and culture. And I can tell you that belongs in Lochgarman, in the nice narrow streets around Wexford, where they appreciate the arts and culture. And of course, the Galway races are coming to a close. And the Dublin Horse Show will be starting next Tuesday or Wednesday as well, a week earlier than usual. Your magnetic movements still capture the minutes I'm in. That's a beautiful lyric. It seems appropriate this morning that we're going to delve into the world of craft that is binding books. And we're going to discuss 100 years of a family tradition among bookbinders right after this break.